Let's read together from the Church Bible. Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be a shepherd of my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. And may the Lord help us to understand and really appreciate his word that we read, of course, at this time. And there's so many truths in here, I don't think we'd have time to go through them all. But the very fact they came to Jesus in the house, he wasn't in the stable now, he was in the house, probably 2 years after he was born. Often we see Christmas cards with the shepherds coming into the stable, but in fact Jesus was in the house. And I think when we spoke on Christmas Day, I explained that that house was probably a house that belonged to Joseph's parents or Joseph's relatives, and it would have been communal in every sense of the word. And here's Jesus now in a part of the house, so he's from the stable now in the house. So a couple of years on from when he was born. It is the greatest story ever told, of course. And this story of Jesus coming into this world. That's why we've been able to be thankful and celebrate this Advent and Christmas time in the way that we have, despite some of the situations that we face in life, personally or corporately, whether it's health issues and whether we're concerned about the future. This time has been meaningful, much more than just the presents we've got or those that we've yet to get. The fact that Jesus came into this world, that God revealed himself, is the greatest story ever told. And it's amazing too that God did this to fulfill a plan that men might be saved through Christ. That men might find that they have a Savior that could lead them, could guide them, and could bring them into eternity through his death on the cross. Although Christ died, yet he was raised from the dead. And he gives that promise to all of us who believe that one day we shall meet with the Lord face to face because he died and he's risen again. And it's amazing that God will do anything to fulfill his plan. Maybe you can honestly say today, if you were to give a personal testimony, you would not be here today if it hadn't been that God arrested your heart and your mind. And it may be that you have a testimony that says, "Yes, I'm thankful to the God who came into this world to show me what life is all about." And God did this through amazing means, and we've learnt that he went to the northern part of Israel, to a place called Galilee, a place that was not seen to be of any real worth or value, yet God chose that place to a virgin called Mary. And then he goes south to Judea, to Elizabeth, who was an older lady, who was barren, and yet she gave birth to a son whose name, of course, was John. And now, as we've read in our reading this morning, wise men from the Orient, from Persia, with these very expensive gifts that give reference to not only the glory, the King of Kings, the royal king, but also to the fact that he's prophet, priest, and king. And of course, although the Christmas cards depict three wise men, there were many more than that as they traveled across from the Orient, following that star in the east. So many people get so, they concentrate so much. Was it a star? Was it a meteor? What was it? In fact, it was the Star of Bethlehem that was leading these men to meet with Jesus. And the one thing they did, they simply offered their gifts and they worshipped him. You know, it's wonderful when we talk about worship, because we're not thinking of ourselves, but we're giving ourselves over to the one who deserves our worship. He is worthy of worship. He is worthy of our lives. And so this is a great story, and the greatest story. And it's one that we shall continue to celebrate as we go through the year, as we remember not only his life, but his death. And there's a verse in 1 Corinthians, or rather 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, that says this: "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes and amen in Christ Jesus." And I want to say on the eve of this year that what God promises us, he will fulfill it in his way. And I think we just need to be raising our sights even higher and living with the expectation that God is going to do amazing things in our midst. There's a lovely song that's sung this time of year: "Love came down at Christmas, love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas, star and angels gave the sign." Yeah, that perfect love that drives out fear. Here is God in his majestic planning of the universe, but also planning of his divine plan to bring redemption to all people. That love came at Christmas. It is the greatest story because everybody is longing for love. There would be many people over this Christmas time that have been unloved. No doubt we have personal stories of folk that have not even been thought about at this Christmas time, that families are at war, and so there's rejection. And there's that feeling that if there's no love in the family, where is love? Well, of course, God is love. And that's why this time of year is special, because we know that even if love in this world fails, his love never fails. John or Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13 that love never fails. It continues throughout our lives. I just one thought here about how love was made manifest. And it's, you know, so often we look at the big picture of the Christmas story and miss some of the detail. I think it's important when we meditate on God's word, there are details that we can easily miss and therefore miss the bigger picture. And it's going back to the time when Gabriel, the angel, came to Mary. And Gabriel said this: "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." I want us just to think about those words for a moment. He doesn't say, "You who will be highly favored." He says, "You are highly favored." And I've said this before and I'll say it again, because yeah, it's good to repeat yourself from time to time, because we learn from repetition. That God thinks of us differently the way we think of ourselves. You know, when we know we're loved by God, it doesn't matter if nobody else loves us. When we know we have an identity in God, it doesn't matter what other people think of us. The trouble in the world today is that people that don't know love will go seeking love in some way or another. And they look to this world and they look to an identity in this world, and so often people get disappointed because they find that people don't really love them, but they only want them for what they can get from them. You see, God was demonstrating his love to this young woman, and he was speaking words to her that she'd not heard before. Greetings, you who are endued with grace, is the meaning of favor. The Lord is with you. I believe that as we go into 2024, that we should rely on the favor of God, on the love and the grace of God. And not necessarily to see what God might do in our midst, but just to know who we are and to live with that sense. Because I think once we know who we are and that we know that we're loved and we know that grace, the God of grace, pours out his unmerited favor upon us, then we have real security in ourselves and in one another. And even though we might fall out from time to time and say things that perhaps we didn't mean, that love does bind us together. And that grace does bind us together. And I think that's very important as we reflect possibly on next year. I've made a note here. How we see ourselves will determine how we will respond to God's call on our lives. We are dearly loved. In fact, the world is dearly loved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I believe that we should hold on to that in 2024. That God loves us. He has set his seal of ownership upon us, so we're called the children of God. But more so, that he wants us to demonstrate his love more and more to those that don't know what love is. And the other thing about Mary, and I go back to her again because although we don't exalt her the way the Catholics do, she said something in response to Gabriel. She said this, "Well, how will this be? How will I ever bore the Son of God? How can I ever do that? I'm a virgin. I've not been with a man. And so how can it possibly be?" And I think in her response, I think she was demonstrating a level of faith. Often we look for faith in those that are faith heroes that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. But here was a woman that knew her limitations and yet accepted the fact that God would do what he said he would do. And I think this is important for us too, that as we go into 2024, not only do we go with the knowledge that we're loved and the grace of God is being poured out upon us, but that we step out in faith in ways that we never expected to. Like Mary, who confessed her limitations, we too confess our limitations. And I believe there are those in our midst that you will find in 2024 that you'll be doing things you never thought you would do. Maybe preaching, who knows? Who knows? Or involved with something as we reach out to the community that you never thought that you would do. You see, faith only really works when we find that we haven't got the ability to do these things. And faith only comes from hearing, and we hear from the word of God. I believe that God will pour out his love upon us and pour out his grace upon us as we live in unity, but also to step out in faith and to believe that God will do what we can't do. I love the words of scripture, and particularly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where Paul is talking about himself, and he says this, "But I am the least of the apostles. I do not deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God," grace is so powerful, grace can move somebody from nowhere to somewhere. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. Let me put this in a more modern language that we find in the Message, but the Bible. He says this, but because God was so gracious, so generous, here I am. And I am not about to let this grace go to waste. And we know that Paul did amazing things by faith. He wrote the book of Romans, a book that speaks of justification by faith alone, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who not only live by the Spirit, but live in the sense of God leading them into new things. And the reason that Paul could say these things, and I think the reason that Mary was beginning to learn these things, and maybe others that we can think about in Scripture that were, in a sense, just in many, many people's eyes, not worthy of respect. I'm thinking of Gideon. Gideon. He was a young guy who was the least of his clan. And yet God used him mightily. What about Samuel? That call of God when he was in the temple. You know, God spoke to him and used him mightily as a great prophet. When we think of people like Elijah, Elisha, these men that just were ordinary people that did extraordinary things as God came with his anointing upon them. I just wonder whether we can not live up to these folk, but to be led by them in the sense that if they can do it with God's help, there's a lot more that we can do with God's help as we go forward. Paul says it's the love of God that compelled him. He's written a quarter of the New Testament. These words that instruct us every day. It's just wonderful to know. So here we are on the eve of a new year, expecting God to do things in our midst that we never expected. And yet it proves from this nativity story, this Advent story, this greatest story ever told, that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Can we believe that by faith? I trust we can as we turn the corner, as I turn the page to my final part. As we turn the corner to a new year. The angel Gabriel responded to Mary by saying this, well, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. This is how God will do it. And I believe the same for us in 2024. Why not? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, and we may feel we're insignificant, that we're tucked away here in Lidbrook and, well, yeah, God's blessed us, but I think there's more. The Holy Spirit will come upon us and the strength and the power of the Most High will be with us. So love came down at Christmas to know that we're loved, to know that the God of grace will pour out more grace upon us. And we might say, well, how will this be? Well, let God be God. And every man a liar, the Bible says. And let him do what he wants to do in our midst. And collectively, we might see his glory. The glory of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in our midst. Amen. Let us pray together. We pray today, Father, for those that are on the outside looking into these stories and wondering what it's all about. We know there will be people going back to their offices, back to work, back to college, whatever school, whatever it might be, and it's all gone, it's all past. What next? But we thank you for this incredible story that enables us each day, no matter what day it is, no matter what year it is, to go forward with the strength and with the power of the knowledge that the King of Kings is with us. and for us, and who can be against us. And we thank you, Father, that your word is true, that we are being conformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's amazing when we think about it. To think of us in the way that we do think of ourselves at times, to know that we are being made in the likeness of Christ, to have the mind of Christ, to move in the power of Christ. Oh Lord, what a wonderful privilege it is. And we just pray for those that don't know this, that have no thought of you. We pray that today will be the accepted time, that today will be the day of salvation. Lord, we know there's no guarantees in life beyond this life without you. That in these short years that we live, we realize, Lord, they're just a beginning of an extended journey in eternity. We pray that we might take with us our families, our loved ones, and those that we come in contact with, that they too might know and love the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Saviour. And so we bless you, Lord, and we just give you thanks this day. And we look forward to a new year, 2024. We pray that that spirit of unity, that bond of peace, that unmerited favour, that grace being poured upon us, your love that will increase in our hearts, and the faith to take hold of your word and to do what you say, rather than what we might say ourselves. And to see in this new year coming a real blessing on this place, an increase of favour, an increase of hearts warm to you, that we might see and appreciate all that you want to do in our midst, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.